It's been nearly 1 year since the protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota began making world news and garnering global support. It's been just a few months since the protest camps were dismantled. Crude oil now flows beneath the Missouri River at a potential rate of 520,000 barrels of oil per day. Even though the oil now flows, the story of the Dakota Access Pipeline continues. Recently, I spoke with Anton Troyer, who's a professor of Ojibwe studies, an author, and a cultural trainer. I asked if he could reflect a bit on the issue of the pipeline protests and where we're at now.
What some of the things I think we can and should learn from Standing Rock are that this issue will not go away. Climate change will continue. The human degradation of the environment will continue. And the role of corporations to prioritize their private profits over the public good will continue. So no matter how you feel, it's almost smaller issues about how a protest went compared to the bigger issue of how do we not just look out for my short-term personal profits or my 401k, but how do I look out for my great-grandchildren's children's children so that they can have a long, healthy, happy life? And if you think about those things, these environmental issues become more important. Because if we're all dead, you know, whatever, on all of these other political things, like it doesn't matter what somebody thinks about abortion or gun control or what have you, if we don't have a planet that can sustain human life, the fundamental issue which drove the Standing Rock protest is still a fundamental issue for everybody of every race. We can deny climate change. We can pretend the issues aren't happening. We can ignore all of the potential solutions, but it's still a fundamental issue. Human beings will need clean water, will need food, which is connected to water, and ultimately, there are some strengths to our systems of governance. The free market approach works for some things, but it doesn't work in equal measure for all things. At this point, our oligarchy has said that profits will be prioritized for private companies over the public good for something like clean water. And there are more responsible ways to look at how do we attend to the energy and job needs of our citizens, and there are less responsible ways. I think anybody, even the having talked to the team at Enbridge and done a training for them, I can tell you they know that there is an end to the fossil fuel industry. It is not going to be sustainable in perpetuity. But when a pipeline is charted and they're traversing all of these very sensitive ecosystems, there is a way to avoid some of the most potentially devastating impacts. And they don't take the extra money it would cost to route it a little bit differently because profits are prioritized over public good. That could be mitigated with our approval process, and so forth. And frankly, I would rather have the oil coming on a pipeline than on a truck or a train. So until we have built out a green energy grid, this will be a solution we should look at. But it doesn't mean recklessly with no consideration for the environment. If there was a longer range view, I think our political landscape would look quite differently. Honestly, I think a lot of what provides support for the right-wing agenda are things like abortion and gun control and so forth. For the same group that is continually propping up private corporate interests over public good. And frankly, I think the Democrats haven't done that much better at putting the public good over, you know, private corporate profits. And a lot of people are upset with all of the major political parties. But we cannot keep supporting political action that is going to make it impossible for our great-grandchildren's children's children to have a place to live. I feel like the protest around Standing Rock, although it failed to stop the pipeline there, I felt like it would when it started. But it has helped raise some consciousness. In the northern Minnesota Lakes region is where some of the fault lines for ongoing pipeline battles will be, because there are several pipeline plans in various stages of offing. There have already been attempts to circumvent what's left of a regulatory process on them. There have been attempts to take a Line 3 replacement and use it as an expansion plan, framed as a replacement in the interest of safety. So there's all kinds of shenanigans going on. Every time there's a public comment session, like there was one here in Bemidji, they essentially had no way for anyone to provide any meaningful comment, designed just to keep people quiet. And this issue is not going to stay quiet. So I would expect more. I honestly, just from the local events we have had, there are lots of not just Native people, lots of all kinds of people who are really upset about the environmental concerns, who are aware that there's never been a pipeline built that has not leaked, and that it's not a question of if but when, and that the pipelines are capable of routing them more sensibly and capable of putting stop valves more frequently so that if there is a spill, it is much smaller, but don't, because nobody makes them. And that there are reasonable requests that they won't listen to unless we make them. And I think some of the other things that Standing Rock has shown is that, and even the Sandpiper protest in our region has shown, is that protest does have an effect in public education and consciousness. It's harder to say, I didn't even know that was an issue, because it's an ongoing, obvious issue. But it also has an effect in, even a delay is very expensive for a pipeline company. And so they are very quickly shifting strategy, realizing that fighting a reservation, tribal government, is going to be such a difficult fight that they're already looking at rerouting some things, and Sandpiper itself was abandoned. And I think they're aware of the political dynamics, that even if they try to pull aside a tribal leader and convince him or her that it is politically suicidal for most tribal leaders to just get in bed with a pipeline company. Mm-hmm. And they know that that is the reality. So, and I think the tribes have gotten a lot smarter about seeing the landscape and seeing the attention that their own citizens are paying to this issue. And so I think there will be stiffer resistance with more effect at altering the trajectory and outcomes for pipelines. And I think broadly with regard to civil disobedience and stuff, it can be mind-numbing how many protests there are, and you can just kind of tune out because there's so many different things, so many issues. But our democracy is being challenged in new and fundamental ways. And I feel like civil disobedience and social activism has been growing and maturing. It's less the one strong man movement, king or X, where one assassination can just scuttle an effort. And so as a result, the growing breadth of leadership is making it more formidable for those in positions of power to overcome. And I think that's actually very good and smart. And also it's telling us that we've so gerrymandered this whole country, Democrats and Republicans alike. We have very few swing districts. It enables that every district is either Democrat or Republican. And the more extreme fringes of those parties are taking over their own parties. And it's going to break one way or another. There will either be a successful third party movement, or those parties will adjust and shift back. But there needs to be some sort of independent commission that's setting up voting districts so that our democracy is more attentive to the will of the people, and we have more of a citizen legislature rather than, you know, all of our senators are millionaires. And all of that is continues to feed the dismay that people have with our own government, and only half our citizens are even participating in it. The House of Cards is getting weaker, and eventually it's going to shift if they don't shore it up. It remains to be seen if we'll be smart enough, you know, to really do that. But I think a lot of people are seeing it, and the protest, the growing protest stuff is showing that you can only keep people down for so long. You can only keep the issues that they're truly passionate about down for so long before they rise up. And, you know, I think people of color have had enough with their horrible mistreatment. And I've seen positive changes and growth and evolution in many areas, and I've seen resistance to it too. So people are going to listen, or it's going to challenge the foundations of our country. And I would say the same thing with regard to environmental issues and other things too.
That's Anton Troyer. He's an author, a professor, and a cultural trainer. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.